thank the Lord for the good singing. Isn't it good to know Jesus as your Savior? Amen. That's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Get to meet the Lord.
Amen.
And I thank God for all He has done for us.
Yeah.
And the Lord has been good. It's a blessing to be here.
Right.
Amen. Thank God my family, my children, my wife got to come with me. And I thank the Lord that you're here. Last time we were here was, I think, January of 2020, before whatever happened. I'm not sure what happened. Something happened, and we really enjoyed being here then. I just always have a time of my life when I get to go anywhere, and then when I get to see the Thornsleys, I miss them, and I have missed them. They got to come down our way for a little visit. And between the 2020 and 2023, and I'm grateful for what the Lord is doing here. Well, let's tell you, it's the Lord's work.
Right.
It is the Lord's work.
Right.
It was a good day in my life when the Lord helped me to see. And y'all have mercy on me, okay? Because I've only been saved since I was 18 years old, and I'm 54. I'm still learning. But there was a time in the ministry I thought, boy, the Lord was blessing our church. And I thought, you know, we was going visiting twice a week. And can I be honest with you? I think pride got in my heart. And I thought, man, you know, if people are just really trying hard, witnessing, you know, things ought to be good. It didn't seem like I turned around good and our numbers were way off. And it seemed like we were in the valley of the shadow of death. And I'm telling you, the Lord knocked every bit of that out of me. And I remember being on the pulpit up here praying one afternoon by myself. And I was just up there and sat telling the Lord that if I was the problem, Lord, get me out of the way. And so you could go from thinking you're everything and thinking you know something. And then the Lord, I'm telling you, if God blesses us, we're blessed. And it is good to know that it is of the Lord's mercies. We're not consumed. It's good to know. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Amen. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman. His work's in vain as well. And so I'm just so glad to be able to be here and see my children get to have a good time with your children and be in church with you. I love going to church. Amen. I am a church man. That's what I love. And I appreciate Brother Ben's Sunday school lesson. You know, I appreciate the emphasis on trying to be a witness. Amen. And none of us have got it all figured out. We're just learning, right? We're just trying. And every generation's different, too. You know something? Every generation's a little different. And we're dealing with people that haven't had you know, the upbringing that, you know, a more traditional upbringing. Some of us had that, but most of the people today haven't had that.
Yep.
Amen. And so I thank the Lord for that. I remember Brother Ben and his wife sent us a card after we were here in 2020. I hadn't forgot that. I appreciate that. It was very thoughtful of them. Sweet. And the church was a blessing to us then. It's good to see Miss Culver. Hello, sister. We love you, and I thank God we got to see her again and got to see Grandma Thornsley. Amen. I tell you, no visit would be complete without getting to see Sister Judy. Amen. She is a blessing. I thank the Lord for her. She's been a blessing to my wife. My wife loves you, sister. She loves you. Amen. She wants to be just like you when she grows up. Amen. And I thank the Lord for that. But I thank God for your pastor. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes, I'm talking about me, not him. But sometimes as a pastor, you can want something that's not the will of God for somebody else. And I just thought Brother Mike was like my right arm. When he was in our church, he was just like my right arm. It's like he and Miss Carlene were coming in when everybody else was going out. It's like I didn't even have to ask him. He just knew. And I thought, you know, I'm going to make him my assistant pastor. Amen. And about that time he popped up and said, the Lord wanted him to go here and go there and do all this stuff. And my, how God's used this family. And what a blessing to hear y'all sing. Amen. Don't you love the way the Thornsleys sing? Do you? I really do. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you doing? I'm just enjoying myself. I'm just going to have a good time. I'm telling you right now, you can make up your own mind. I'm going to have a good time. Amen. I decided a while back that life's too short, to live like it's raining on the inside. Amen. But I want to give you something that's on my heart this evening. Let me just tell you, let me remind you, God's good. you know what my pastor tells me when I say God's good? He said he's better than that. Genesis 35. All right. Y'all ready for me to preach and get out of the way so you can get your pastor back? And I don't blame you. I was sitting back there thinking, I feel like an old rusted out Ford LTD. Amen. I don't have much shine to me. I don't get to go many places, but I want to take you somewhere. I want to be a blessing if I can. And this is something the Lord showed me and stirred my soul about in Genesis 35. And I like people, places, and things in the Bible. How many of you love the Bible? I just kind of encourage you, unless you're so sick you can't stand it, don't go a day without reading the Word of God. Because there's a song that some folks in my church sing. It's Thank God I Have a Bible. Amen. That's a good song. Amen. JP ought to learn that and sing it. Amen. But Genesis 35, this is part of the life of Jacob. What a blessing, Jacob. Wasn't he spirit-filled? Amen. Hey, there's hope for us. There's hope for us. You look at his family, you'll scratch your head and say, how did God make 12 tribes out of that? Amen. But that's the God of all grace and the God of all power. He's the God that gets all the glory. But anyway, we're looking tonight at part of the life of Jacob. And this is when the Lord called him back to Bethel. You remember when he left home, what a trickster mother he had. You ladies say amen right there, and don't be like that woman, amen. She was a liar. She was as bad as Jacob, amen. And so Jacob, he gets his brother's birthright, then he gets the blessing, and then Esau in his heart, you remember, he wept and cried. He said, have you not got a blessing from me? I mean, he went into a rage and temper, and Jacob's mother knew, we got to get you out of here. They're going to send him to Laban. And so as Jacob runs away, he passes by this place called Bethel. And Bethel is an important place in the Word of God. It's the second most mentioned place in the Word of God. Second most mentioned city. I mean, I'm talking about on earth. If we talk about heaven, there may be quite a few more mentioned. But the only city that's mentioned more than Bethel some 60 times is Jerusalem. So I would say that's a pretty important place in the Word of God. So Bethel, and I want us to look at this place called Bethel in the life of Jacob, but in the life of the child of God. I believe the Lord has something to say to us through these people, places, and things. Genesis 35. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And Jacob said unto his household, and all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. I mean, they had a lot of problems, didn't they? Amen. And I'm just going to be honest with you, sometimes people have a lot of problems. And I have had a whole lot of problems in my life that the Lord has helped me, and he continues to help me with. Verse 3, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. And so Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Alon Bacuth. And God appeared unto Jacob again. Isn't that good? Isn't that good when God works in your life again? Amen. He is the God that does things again. Amen. And the Lord, the God, appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padanaram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I will give it. And to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured out a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, the midwife said unto her, fear not, for thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, or she died, that she called his name Benoni. That means son of my sorrow. But his father called him Benjamin. That means son of my right hand. Amen. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. And that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. I want you to look back with me into verse number 3. This is where I'm taking the title for my thought this evening. Jacob here, he begins to tell us about where his life has taken him and how God has been with him. And notice what he said. He said, and was with me in the way which I went. I read that one day, and the Lord pricked my heart with that phrase. And God reminded me that he has been with all of his children in the way in which we went. I'll just tell you something about being saved. You don't walk alone anymore. Amen. We have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Through good times and hard times, he doesn't leave us or forsake us. Amen. When we thank God, sometimes we rise to the occasion and we overcome. I thank God for that. And he's there with us to help us overcome. Sometimes we just flat blow it. Amen. But he is still merciful and still gracious, you look at the life of Jacob. What a mess. But can I tell you something? Go look in the mirror, and God bless you. You're going to probably have to say, like I say when I look in the mirror, what a mess. Amen. But I'm glad I'm God's mess. Amen. And he loves us in spite of what we are, where we've been, and what we've done. And I want to preach about this way in which I went, this way that we go. I want to tell you some things along the journey that Jacob found. You're going to find those same things along your journey. You can be seated. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity again to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the True Light Baptist Church. Thank you, Father, for your people that have gathered here this evening. Lord, thank you for your wonderful love and mercy upon us. Thank you, Lord, for your great salvation that you shined upon us one day and gave us the opportunity to come to you and be forgiven and become one of your children and be born again. Lord, I thank you that you love us, Lord, with a love that doesn't stop. I thank you, Father, that you continue that good work that you began in us, and you'll perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, this evening for this service, Lord, would you work in it exactly what you want? Move us out of the way. God, may the focus get on you. May the Spirit of God work in every heart and every life. I pray for those that are sick this evening that you would touch this one, Miss Cheyenne. Have mercy on her, Lord. And give her, I pray, grace that we can't even understand
God, lift her up above it. God, I pray, bring her through it by your grace. Lord, I pray, bless this service. Speak to hearts now, Lord. Help us to put ourselves in the Scripture tonight and see that you are the God that goes with us in the way in which we go. Please touch us now, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen and amen. So Bethel, again, an important place in the Word of God. It's an important place in the life of God's people. Bethel just seems to be a place, especially in the early life of the patriarchs, that God met with His people there. God, it seems like God, many of them, He propelled them from this place. And so if you were to look at Bethel, geographically, you find that it's about 15, 17 miles north of Jerusalem. And there was a time in the book of the Judges that the Ark of God was at Bethel. The people of God resorted to Bethel to pray and to seek the Lord. Bethel served the ancient Hebrews as the early point of communication with God. And it was a key place that they settled. And we know later in the life of Israel that Jeroboam corrupted it and he set up his idolatry there at Bethel. And the reason he did that was it was such a powerful place in the life of Israel. And Jeroboam didn't want people going down to the city where God had chosen to put his name and his house in Jerusalem. So he said, it's just too hard for you to do all of that. And Jeroboam gave them a shortcut. You know, we live in a world that wants a shortcut today. Amen. It's too much for you to go all the way down to Jerusalem. He said, let's just do this here. Let's make it convenient. That's what people want today. They want something convenient. I'm going to tell you, God doesn't always let things be convenient for us. Sometimes the Lord wants us to strive. Amen. And press through and do the hard thing. And so Bethel, in our text, Jacob has his first meeting with God at Bethel, and now the Lord is calling him back to Bethel. He spent, I think it's around 20 years down there at Laban's house. And if there's ever been anybody trickier than Jacob, it was Laban. I think God gave him a little taste of his own medicine there with Laban. And so, but then there's a time that God says, okay, I've taught you what I wanted to teach you down here in Laban's house, and now it's time for you to move on and come back to Bethel. And so Jacob makes this statement when he gets back to Bethel. He says, I want to go back to Bethel, and I want to again meet with the God who has been with me all these years in the way in which I went. And so let's tell you that again. God has been with us in this journey. I think about my own journey. I was sitting downstairs in the couch and just contemplating again. And I just tell you, God's been good.
Yeah.
Amen. God has been good.
Yeah.
And if I give you a little advice, the best thing you can do is to just develop a little spiritual amnesia. Amen. Try to learn to forget the hurts and try to learn to forget the offenses and remember the blessings that the Lord has given you more. You know, some people, all they can remember are the bitter things. But you know, the Lord is in that business. When you put the cross in your bitter things at Marah, God makes them sweet. Amen. You know, my most difficult trials have become my most powerful testimonies. Amen. Can I tell you, the deepest, darkest, hardest places I've been is where God has given me the testimony where I can praise His name that He brought me through it. Amen. And He had a plan in the midst of it. I look at Bethel and I'm thankful for this journey the Lord gives us. And I have more in common with Jacob than I like to admit. Just to be honest with you, I have made some missteps. I have missed it a few times, but I don't want to miss it anymore. I don't want to do it on purpose. Amen. I might do it by accident, but I don't want to go looking for sin. Amen. I don't want to miss God. Let me just say, the first thing we find in the life of Jacob, and I think we find it along this journey in which we go, is salvation. Amen. You know, Jacob comes to Bethel. You know what Bethel is? Bethel is a place of new beginnings. Aren't you glad that we got a new beginning when we came to the Lord Jesus Christ? I got a church member, Brother Tom, that teaches Sunday school, the adult class, and he talks about how God gives us a new day. Amen. He teaches middle school math, and he talks about how you can have the worst day you've ever had. He said, but every day when they come in, he says, I give them all a brand new day. Amen. I'm glad when the Lord saves us, he gave us a brand new day. And Bethel is a place that speaks of salvation because it is a place of new beginnings. You look back in the life of Abraham. You know what happened to Abraham? Abraham had his new beginning at Bethel. And so Bethel is this important place in the life of faith. Bethel was one of the first places that Abraham stopped in Genesis 12 verse 8. The Bible says this, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. That's the first mention of Bethel in the Word of God, and it's mentioned in the life of Abraham, who had come out of paganism and wickedness, and he stops at Bethel, and he gets him an altar and a tent, and calls on the name of the Lord. You know what that's a picture of? It's a picture of salvation, and Abraham has a new beginning. In Genesis 13 verse 3, it speaks again of Abraham, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. You know something? I'm thankful that I had my own Bethel. Did you have your Bethel where you had a new beginning? Amen. I was praying sometime today, and I thank the Lord for passing by the cotton mill. Hey, I got saved working third shift in a cotton mill. I got saved sometime between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. Amen. I had a cantankerous co-worker, and he would not quit living for Jesus. He would not quit praising the Lord. He would not quit reading his Bible, and he would not quit telling me about how good God was and witnessing to me about salvation. And one night in the middle of the night at Shepherd Mills in Hudson, North Carolina, I walked into a little parts room, and I knew that those guys went in there at break time and prayed. I don't know why in the world I walked in there at break time where I knew that they read the Bible and prayed, but here I came. Amen. You say, why'd you do that? I guess I was just a deer caught in the headlights. Amen. And I walked in there, and he witnessed to me again. You know what I found myself doing? I found myself walking out the front steps of Shepherd Mills, kneeling down on the front steps of Brother Larry, and calling on the Lord. I don't remember what I prayed, but I remember what God did. Amen. He gave me a new beginning. And they'll say, you need a new beginning in the Lord Jesus Christ. You never had one. You need more than religion.
That's right.
Amen. You need more than rules. You need relationship. Amen. You need to know the living God. And so Jacob, not only Abraham found his new beginning, but Jacob finds his new beginning at Bethel. Now, I don't have time to read all these scriptures, but if you go back to Genesis 28, Jacob's on the run, and he has his new beginning. He makes a commitment to God. In Genesis 28:20, and Jacob vowed a vow, and saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and didn't the Lord do exactly what he asked him to do? Amen. And will give me bread to eat. Are you listening? Give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house of peace. Then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. You know something? Jacob was there choosing God's way, wasn't he? It was there that Jacob had his new beginning. I wrote this down today. You know, God's given me so much more than just food and raiment. You know, he has given me food and raiment, but the Lord has given me so much more than that. God has given me a wife that loves me and that I love. God's given me children, and I'm thankful for that. God's given me family. God's given me a place to serve him. God's given me so much more than I asked for. More than food and raiment. Amen. You know, and I'm thankful that everybody finds a new beginning, just like Bethel, when we find salvation. Second thing we find is a sanctuary. You know, Bethel, it's a combination of two Hebrew words, Beth, which means the house, and El, that's the name of God.
Yeah.
Amen. So Bethel, it means the house of God. And that's exactly what Jacob said there when he said, this is the house of God. Amen. Amen. You know something I found important along my journey after my new beginning? I found a sanctuary. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I don't know anything more important than the house of God.
That's right.
Amen. Thank God. Let me just say this about Little River Baptist Church Life Pastor. It ain't perfect.
Yeah.
We got issues, man. Amen. But you know something? We are a church.
Amen.
It is a sanctuary. And let me say something about True Light Baptist Church. Hey, this is a great church. This is a wonderful church. This is God's church. It's a sanctuary.
Yeah.
You know what everybody needs? I just meditate on some of these things. I wonder sometimes how I got where I got.
Uh-huh.
You ever wonder how in the world did you get here?
Yeah, come on.
I look at our church. I pastor in the military community. We got people from all over the nation. I wonder how in the world God got all them people there and saved them, amen, and put them in Little River Baptist Church. I don't know how He did it, but He did it. You know, and it's the Lord that puts you in a church, isn't it? Amen. I didn't just go through the yellow pages one day. That somehow or another God worked in my life and put me in a sanctuary. Amen. I was thinking this afternoon. I wonder how I ended up. My pastors, Pastor Floyd Perry, He's up in his 70s. He married my wife and I 30-some years ago. Don't ask me to keep track. I think 34 this year, 33 this year will be 34. Please help me, Lord, not to be wrong. Amen. All my life. Amen. He married us. My wife got saved. He baptized her. I mean, he's been our pastor. And that was our church. In my formative years, my great big boys were little teeny boys. When we went there, my pastor will see my boys now. They come by and visit sometimes. Andrew went by there. He's got four kids, one on the way. He's about 6'4". Amen. Great big tree. He'll see my boys, Andrew, Daniel, and Jordan. They're all great big boys, men now. And he'll say they cut their teeth on the pews in this. And that's the truth. Amen. That was a sanctuary. And let me just say, I thank God for the sanctuary. I thank God for the church.
Yes.
I got another sermon. I don't have time to preach yet, but it's the most important place in town.
That's right.
You are at the most important place in town.
Come on.
Hey, I like the fire department. I thank God for the fire department. If my house catches on fire, I hope they get there in time. Amen. But if they don't, I want the insurance to give me a lot of money. Amen. You know what the fire department will do? They'll come. They'll put the fire out. You know what the church does? Hey, people can come in here in the house of God, and they can dodge hell through Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You talk about putting a fire out, that puts a fire. Hey, I thank God for the hospital. I've rode around here enough to see a few hospitals. When you get my age, you start saying, where's the good hospitals? Amen. You know what? They're just practicing, though. Thank God for them, but you know, the church is more important. I ain't going to preach three sermons tonight. Don't worry. Amen. It's the most important place in town.
That's right.
It's the most important place in your life.
That's right.
Amen and amen.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, thank God for what the Lord does for us in the sanctuary. In Genesis 28:17, He said that He was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.
Yeah.
Wow, what a place this is. Amen. God has given you a house of God here at True Light Baptist Church. In verse number 1 of chapter 35, look what the Lord said. The Lord said to Jacob, you get down there to Bethel and you dwell there.
Yes.
You know what the Lord wants you to do? You know what God wants you to do? God wants you to find the house of God that He has for you and get in there. Amen. And dwell there. Put your life in with these people's lives and raise your children for the glory of God. And I'm telling you, God will do something for you in His church. Amen. I love the church. Amen. God is sending Jacob back to that place of the tent and the altar. That's really where we live, isn't it? The tent, you know, Jacob, Abraham, they just all had a tent. You know what a tent says? It says, I am a stranger, and I am a pilgrim, and I ain't staying long. Amen. You know what an altar says? An altar says, I have a Savior, I have a God who is Lord of my life, and I have a tent, I have a God that is, I'm just passing through. I'm on my way to a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. The tent's a temporary dwelling, and the altar speaks of my heart to meet with God. to fellowship with Him, to know Him and to love Him. The sanctuary has meant so much to me in the way in which I went. You know, the church has been one of the sweetest of all blessings. I love my pastor. He comes, Lord willing, and I'll make homecoming any Sunday in June. Whatever Sunday he can be there, Brother Mike will be homecoming. Because as long as he's living and kicking, I don't care if he gets a place, we have to roll him in here. You don't even know where he's at. Amen. We're going to bring him in there because he's my pastor. Amen. He taught me. He taught me so much. And I didn't even know I was learning a lot when I was learning it. Amen. Hey, thank God for the man of God the Lord put in your life. God put a man in your life to preach the Word of God to you. Amen. If you'll follow his faith and you'll follow his family's faith, you'll be well off. Amen. Are you listening? God didn't say go down there to the internet church. Amen. I don't find that anywhere in the Word of God. Amen. He said, hey, I got a special place I want to put you in. I want you to dwell there. I want you to put your heart in it. Let me work in your life. I'm going to tell you, the church has been there for me. It has been there for me. It has been there for my family. Amen. Not just because I'm a pastor, because I was a member before I was a pastor. Hey, I know what it is to be broken. I know what it is to have all your dreams come crashing down on your head, go try to do something for God and the roof fall in on you, and have to come back to the home church. And you have a few sitting around saying, well, I just never thought I should have went up there. But can I tell you, the majority, when we came in and I was so broken, I didn't even know if I could preach anymore. I didn't even know if I could go on. My home church, my pastor came around. I didn't even know what God was doing, but God was healing me up. And God was healing my family up. About 10 months later, they shoved me back out the door to go to Little River. Amen. Said, we've had enough of you. Get out of here. Amen. You know something I thought about this way this afternoon? My home church was like the Good Samaritan. They took me in when I was beaten and when I was downcast and I was broken. And they bound me up. Amen. They poured in the oil. They poured in the wine. They healed me up. Can I tell you, that's exactly what that church did for me. And I'll owe them to the day that I die what they did for me, just by loving me. Amen. I'm telling you, there's nothing more precious. There's no football game more precious than the house of God. There's no race. I'm telling you, there's no work. There's no nothing in this world that's more precious to the life of your family than the house of God. A sanctuary. That's what I'm talking about. What Jacob found and the way which he went, he found salvation, a new beginning. He found a sanctuary, the house of God. Yes, then the third thing he found, the Lord said in Genesis 35, verse 1, go build you an altar. You know what Jacob did at Bethel? He prayed. Supplication.
Yes, amen.
You know what I found along the way that I went? I need to pray. I always need to pray. There's never a time that I don't need to pray. Amen. We have to have this attitude of supplication. Jacob is commanded to build an altar, and prayer has been needful in the way in which I went. If you're going to be happy and you're going to be fruitful, you're going to be faithful, if you're going to have God's hand on your life, you're going to have an altar. A place to pray. Amen. Thank God. I'm going to tell you, God can change your life in prayer. I'm not going to get into it, but I tell you, God changed my life in prayer. God changed me one night in prayer. And the Lord can touch your life. I'm telling you, prayer will make something out of you. It's more than just a big list from God. It's more than just a gimme, gimme, gimme. It is communion with the holy God of heaven that loves you and saved you and wants to talk to you more than you want to talk. I'm telling you, that's amazing. It's amazing. Amen. If I'll just stop what I'm doing and talk to Him, He's always ready and willing. I'm telling you, He is so faithful.
Yes.
He is so faithful.
Yes.
Amen. It doesn't matter if I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, can't sleep because the burden's so heavy. I'm telling you, He is there to meet with me whenever, wherever. I mean, it doesn't matter where you're at, child of God. You can talk to Him.
Yes.
And we all need to talk to Him.
Yes.
Amen. Supplication. I have found in the way in which I've gone supplication. The Bible does tell us to pray without ceasing. Luke 18, the Bible says, He spake a parable unto them this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know what verse you find in Luke 18? If you read Luke 18, you find the Lord says, nevertheless shall the Son of Man find faith when He cometh. What kind of faith is the Lord looking for? I think the kind of faith God's looking for is a faith that stays on its knees, trusting and praying and asking and believing. Amen. And waiting for an answer. God, let's tell you something. Pray. God's listening. Pray and believe. God said God loves you, and in due time, God will answer some prayers for you. Just keep praying. Just keep knocking. There's that principle of importunity. Amen. There's that, that woman in Luke 18, I got too many messages. That woman in Luke 18, you know what? She comes to the unjust judge who is completely the opposite of God. God is a good judge. And she keeps coming. She says, avenge me, avenge me, avenge me. He said, though that judge feared not God nor man, he said, it's her continual coming. She wearied me. I'm going to give her whatever she wants. Amen. Amen. And I tell you something, you keep asking. And you keep asking, and you keep believing, you keep loving God. Amen. Yeah. Well, I could testify.
Come on.
I could let my wife testify. Amen. But I won't, praise God. Amen. You want to hear her testimony? God, I mean, you ought to, you ladies, if you want to hear, you want to hear how God gave us a house when we were so blessed and frustrated. We thought we was never going to get one. You talk to her, ladies. Amen. If there's something you're asking God for, I'm putting you on the spot. Honey, I love you. We're in this together. Amen. All right. Are you still with me? Still awake? Amen. Hey, thank you for staying awake tonight. I appreciate that.
Amen.
The first thing we see is what? Salvation, a new beginning. Second thing we find is a sanctuary, the house of God. The third thing we find is supplication. Build an altar. Build an altar. Build an altar.
Yes.
Young men, build an altar. Young ladies, build an altar. Build an altar. The fourth thing I find, and we're going to love this one. This is going to be so much fun. Verse number 2. Jacob said, okay, we're going to go back where God's at. We can't go back where God's at the way you people look. Amen. Jacob looked at his family and said, if we go up there like this, God's going to kill all of us. Amen. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Now, I think you can about guess what my fourth word is. It's an S word, and it begins with sanct and ends with sanctification. Amen. And I just tell you, the Lord's still working in my life. Because sometimes my attitude, I mean, does anybody else here struggle with your attitude? Just me. Oh, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Just me? No, not just me. I mean, as long as you're in the flesh, you're going to need sanctification, friend. Notice what he said. He said, in the way in which I've gone, I've needed God to work sanctification in my life. Get these strange gods out of here.
Yeah.
Amen. Get these earrings out of here.
Yeah.
And he said, y'all need to change your clothes.
Yeah.
He said, you are not dressed right, family. Amen. Sometimes we have to look at each other and say, hey, that ain't right. Amen. Sometimes my wife will look at me and say, hey, button up that top button. Amen. Big boy. Hey, I thank God she's jealous over me. Amen. I don't know why, but she is, and I'm glad she is. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I need to get done so I can go back and sit beside her. Amen. Sanctification. I've needed that. Some of the most difficult things in my life. I tell you, I was a preacher, and don't throw nothing at me. Keep your shoes on. God had called me to preach, and you know what I was struggling with? Cigarettes. And I go preach. God can do anything, but I couldn't quit smoking.
Come on.
But can I tell you, He made me free. Amen. He helped me.
Yes.
You say, did God just miraculously do it? No, I chewed everything I could find. Amen. Cough drops, praise God. Well, them round things that are candy. Lifesavers. There was a lifesaver for me. Amen. I chewed on nails and wooden spoons, anything else I could get my hands on. Finally, God said, you got yourself into that. You get yourself out of that. Amen. No, He gave me grace. He helped me.
Yeah.
But there are more problems in life than just cigarettes. Amen. So you say, preacher, preach on everything. I'm trying. Some people have temper problems. Amen. Everybody alive has temper problems. You know, Jacob had a lot of problems. Ooh, boy, a lot of weaknesses. But I'm glad as I let the Lord, He helps me. He forgives me. He cleanses me in the way of which I've gone. You know what? Look at where they leave these sinful things behind that. Look at verse number 4. He said, and they, so they've given Jacob all these things. He said, fork it over. Amen. I think in the military, before you go to basic training, they've got a, what do they call it, an amnesty box? And you stick all your sin in the box.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad, thank God, with the Lord, there was an amnesty box. Amen. There still is. Amen. You can get rid of sin tonight.
Yeah.
You're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. You can put that in the amnesty box this evening and get rid of it. Amen. And you better get rid of it.
Yeah.
Oh, and you say, preacher, don't preach on everything. We'll never get out of here. No, we won't. Y'all got a clock. Amen. Look at where they left this stuff. Verse 4, and they gave unto Jacob all their strange gods. Wow. Would anybody in 2023 have a strange god? If there's something in your life that takes more of your attention than God, I don't care if it's the news. Because a lot of times it is, I'm telling you, the news is worthless. They are worthless. Let's just all get politically mad tonight. Amen. It'll take us about 30 seconds. And we won't be worth nothing to God. We won't be worth it. I mean, you'll be thinking about Sleepy Joe, amen, and you'll miss every sinner God's put in your way to witness to. Amen. Well, I got to get back to, let's read verse 4. Let's do that. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands. You got any in yours? Amen. Isn't that amazing? They had them in their hands. It's almost like they carried around everywhere they went. Thank you, sister. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I appreciate that. And all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. You know what Shechem would become? Shechem would become in the future, in the life of Israel, one of those six cities of refuge. You know what the word, and all of those six cities, the Lord, all of them were on a high place. Amen. And they say that an Israelite can never be anywhere in Israel that they were more than a day's journey from a city of refuge. I mean, God made them accessible. God made salvation accessible. And God made salvation visible. Amen. The invisible things of Him are clearly seen. Amen. God made salvation there for them. Three on the wrong side of Jordan, three on the right side of Jordan. God, you know what Shechem means? Shechem speaks of the shoulder. I preached a message one time, our God has big shoulders. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad, thank God, that the Lord was able to shoulder all of my sin. Amen. He did it at the cross of Calvary. And I'm thankful He did it for me one night. Between the shoulders, it speaks of the place of burdens. Isaiah 53:4, surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet did we esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You know, Christ has lifted our burdens over and over.
Yes, sir.
Because He has strong shoulders. Amen. Number 5, we're moving along. Surrender.
Amen.
Jacob comes to Bethel. And you know what he does every time he comes to Bethel? Not my will, but thine. The Lord wins the battle at Bethel in the life. In my life, I've known some surrender. In Genesis 28, in Jacob's first visit, in verse number 20, Jacob makes vows. He makes commitments. He makes promises to God. You know what Bethel is? He comes back to Bethel. You know what Bethel is? It's a place of further commitment.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, people like commitment when it comes to everything except spiritual things.
That's right. Come on.
Commitment.
Yep.
We want people to be committed to work, don't we? Amen. We want to be committed to school. We want to be committed to their relationships. We want to be committed to everything. You know, one thing you better be is committed to God.
Yes, amen.
I preached the message one time on, I think you need to be committed. Amen. Amen. It's got a double meaning. Genesis 35. You know what he said in Genesis 28:20? He made promises, he made vows in Genesis 28:22. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I was sure to give the tenth unto thee. I mean, we find them tithing all the way back to Abraham. Amen. It's not like Jacob needed God to give him some special revelation of what Moses would write one day. I think it was just an eternal biblical principle. It's just an eternal principle that God is God. And he's the one that blesses us. And I'm telling you, you live better on 90%. Amen and amen. Thank God. Isn't the Lord good? I'm telling you, God will bless you. He will. Surrender. The way in which I have gone, I have found that the Lord had a better plan. My will and my wants have not always been the best plan. God's plan has been the best plan. You know, if there's ever been a selfish Bible character, his name was Jacob. But the Lord gets Jacob to the place where he is surrendering his will to God. Amen. Where do you want me to go, Lord? How am I supposed to do this, God? God said for us to do this. We'll go do it. Jacob never talked. I believe his wife looked at him and said, Jacob, have you lost your mind? You don't listen to anybody. Amen. Well, number six, we're coming in for a landing here soon. The way in which we go. Thank God there's salvation. Thank God there's a sanctuary. Amen. Thank God there is sanctification. Thank God for all those things. There is surrender. But sixthly, in verse number 8, verse number 19, we find there's some suffering. Yeah. Along the way in which I've gone, there's been some suffering. Yes, sir. I don't know how long it's been now ago since my older brother died. But can I tell you, God is even sovereign in those situations, because I pastor 3 hours from where my brother lives. And it's almost like God knew that the night my brother would die in his sleep. It's almost like the Lord, in his providential will, had me in town preaching in a revival meeting. And I preached that night that my brother died. I'd preached that night. And I thought I knew who I was preaching to in the congregation. So I said, this message is going to help them. But little did I know, it was for my family. It was for my mother and my father. And I preached on how God doesn't want us to try to go around our storms, but God brings us through our storms. Yeah. And I got a call about 8 o'clock the next morning, and they said, you need to get over to your brother's house. He's passed away to sleep. I ran over there as fast as I could. My mother and my dad were sitting on the couch. My brother was in there in the back bedroom, going on to be with the Lord. Mom and Dad were weeping and crying, and my dad looked at me through tears. He said, Robert, that the message last night was for us. Can I tell you what happened 2 weeks later to the day? 2 weeks later to the day, my brother's wife died. Any of y'all want to explain that to me after church this evening? I'm ready to listen. But can I tell you, I don't need an explanation. Because I know God knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Amen.
But the way in which I've gone has known some suffering.
Yes.
I wish that life could be without it. Look in verse number 8. Can you imagine how old Deborah must have been? Deborah was not Jacob's wife's nurse. Deborah was Jacob's mother's nurse. You talk about a woman that was beloved. Amen. Amen. When Isaac and Jacob's mother could no longer take care, Deborah is with them. And along the journey, Deborah dies. And look at where the Bible says they buried her. Verse number 8. And Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. That's Jacob's mother. You remember when they went down to get Isaac a wife? This was the young lady that came with her. This is right before Jacob's wife's going to die. His mother's nurse is still a living. I don't know why that's so profound to me. I just never had seen it before until I really studied this. And look what she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Alon Bakuth. You know what that word means? The oak of weeping.
I'm not looking for any suffering. I'm certainly not asking for any. But along the way in which we go, sometimes it comes our way. But can I tell you, God said, go this way, Jacob. And God was in control when they packed up Deborah and everybody else. God was in the lead. God was working in their life. Can I tell you, God knows what He's doing in your life. You say that my way has brought some suffering. Well, the God of heaven, He knows exactly where you're at and what you need. I may not understand, but He does. Then in verse number 19, not only does Deborah pass away, but we have two deaths. And then Jacob's beloved wife, Rachel, she's going to die. So the way that we go, we find some loss, some pain, but God goes with us all the way. He doesn't leave us just because we're having a hard time. He doesn't leave us when we get sick. Amen. He doesn't forsake us when we don't feel like we can do what we could do when we were strong and young. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. How could that be? Well, that's what the Bible says. Let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him, and well-doing is unto a faithful Creator. Can I tell y'all another story? Y'all don't want to hear another story. There's a little family that went to the pet store, and that's trying to pick out a puppy. If you go to the Thornsley's house, you can pick out a puppy. Amen. And the family couldn't figure out which puppy to get. And so they asked their little boy, said, which one should we get? He said, I want the one with a happy ending. The dog was wiggling his tail back and forth. The little boy said, I want the one with a happy ending. I tell you something about the life of a child of God. We have a happy ending. Amen. Yes, a very happy ending.
Yes.
You know, James 5:11. Y'all just hang on, all right? James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
And have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Job 42:10. What is the patience of Job? Job 42:10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before.
Yeah.
Amen. Job's blessed wife. Amen. She got to have 10 more young'uns. Say amen right there. Woo, hallelujah. She paid for that curse God and died, didn't she? Amen. You say, preacher, why didn't God give her 20? Because she already had 10. They were with the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. So God just give them 10 more. Well, I've got a message on his three daughters. I ain't going to preach that, though. Can I tell you something? God, you know, there's things you know, things you read, but there's times it really hits you. Can I get a witness? This hit me recently. I felt silly. I felt uneducated. The Bible says the Lord gave him what? Twice. Can I tell you, being saved is twice as good. Sometimes when you suffer, you end up twice as good.
Yeah. Amen.
But listen to this, Job 42:16. Are you listening? Y'all probably already know this. This just really dawned on me recently. After this, again, I'm glad there's an after this. After this lived Job. Are you listening? After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. You know what 140 is? Divided by two, what do you get? 70. You know what God did? God didn't just give him double stuff. God gave him double days.
Amen.
Hey, I've never seen that till recently. That's big to me. Amen.
Amen.
That was big. You know, God gave him abundant life. Hallelujah. God gave us double too. Amen. Double life. 60 and 10 doubled. Amen. All right. Number 7. God provided shelters and supplies along the way. Verse number 9. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. Can I just tell you, the Lord that has been with me along my journey has taken care of me. He's taken care of my family.
Yeah.
Amen. There's always been a handful of meal at the bottom of the barrel. Amen.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you what the Lord will do for you? When you can't, He can.
That's right.
Amen. When you have no way, He is able still to do. Sometimes the Lord lets us be reduced to nothing, and when we're down to nothing, He's up to something. Amen.
Yes, amen.
God bless me. He meets our needs, and He's always going to meet our needs. Amen. He's just good like that. There are days of faith, and there's days of just a handful in the bottom of the barrel. But God has never failed to somehow meet our needs. And then the last thing I'll say about this way in which I've gone, there's been a sovereign God.
Amen.
You know what was going on in the life of Jacob all along the way? The God of heaven had His eye on him and said, hey, you're special to me. You are a hard-headed saint, but I still love you, Jacob.
Yes.
Jacob, you need a good swift kick, but I have a plan for your life. And bless your heart, if I have to whoop you, you're going to get in it. Amen. If I have to give you an attitude adjustment every 6 months, Jacob, you're going to do what I want you to do.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
I tell you, I think sometimes that's the way the Lord has to deal with me. But there's been a God in this young man's life.
Yeah.
A sovereign God who knew the way in which he was going. Who led him all the way.
Yeah.
Verse number 3, let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me. He's with us. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Can I just tell you, I'll tell you the story of your life before you live it. If you live for Jesus, the Lord will provide salvation.
Yep.
He'll provide a sanctuary.
Amen.
He'll provide a place for you to pray and people for you to pray with. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Isn't it a blessing to have people to pray for you?
Yes.
And pray for your family?
Yes.
Isn't it a blessing to have somebody beside you care about you? Amen. I thank God for that two or three that are gathered together. Amen.
Yes.
I thank God for those two or more that join together in prayer. Amen. Isn't it good to have another?
Yes.
That's, I will pray for you. I'm telling you, that's precious words when someone says, I will pray for you. Amen. And they follow through.
Yes.
There's a sovereign God who has been with me.
Yes.
I just tell you, you may feel like you're off the radar, but you're not. You may feel like you're getting bounced around in the garbage disposal, but can I tell you, if you're one of His, you're okay.
That's right.
You may not understand what's going on, but He does.
That's right.
So, preacher, what can I do? Just come commit your way to the Lord.
Yeah.
Just come give it all to God. Say, Lord, you know what you want to do in my life. You want what you want to make of me. You know what I need to get out of my life. You know what I need to put in my life. Amen. And give it to the Lord. But can I just tell you, this is my message tonight. He will be with you.
Amen.
In the way in which you go. And He'll provide so many blessings.
Yes, sir.
And I thank the Lord that He will. Bible, will you come play something? And maybe Nathaniel, you want to come get a song? Let's stand. Let's bow our heads.